with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM all over this great state of Michigan. We welcome you. Appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob's on a little hunting trip this week, so I'm going solo with...
I'm here.
That's right. That's right. I guess I shouldn't say I'm going solo. I'm graced with the presence of the Baritone of Beer, Chaz Thompson, and glad to have you with us, Chaz.
Yeah, I got up this morning. I said, hey, let's do a show.
Right, right. Why not? So it is deer season, and thanks for taking time off that, because I know you're a hunter as well. And today we thought we might talk a little bit about preserving food. This is that time of year when you're getting fish, you're getting all kinds of game.
It's the end of the garden, too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right.
I got people bringing stuff to me all the time. Hey, you need some of this?
Right.
We got too much.
Right. Yep. Bob was sharing with me earlier this week. We were had a conversation about the apples this year.
The apples are just exploding this year.
Right. Whatever the reason was, it was an unbelievably bumper crop, and some of the orchards ran out of boxes. And you can't just fabricate more boxes overnight to put ripe apples in. So they're having to leave some of them on the trees, and they're just trying to get people out to pick them.
Yeah.
Right? Some of the orchards.
Should mean a good year for cider.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a preservative too, right?
Yeah, we'll get to
that. So I was talking to a guy in the apple business, and I said, so, you know, anytime there's a bounty of things and the market's flooded with product, I said, how's that going to hold the pricing? Right. And he said, well, it's interesting because Michigan is the number two apple producing state behind Washington State. Washington State had very, very small crop this year because of frost. They had late frost and it took the blooms off the trees and a lot of them in there.
So the nation's eating Michigan apples.
That's right. That's what's going to happen this year. So one man's misfortune is another man's fortune.
That's why we live in a big, great country.
That's right. United States, baby. But anyway, what'd you do this last week? Anything good on the grill before we get on to this
preserving stuff? Oh, man, I did some, I found a pork loin in the freezer.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. So I'd throw down the rotisserie. You know, I knifed in some garlic cloves, and I put some rosemary sprigs on it, and I just slow roasted it, a little bit of salt rub on it. Yep. And then as it was finishing up, I just wanted a little crust on it. So I grabbed the old yellow mustard.
Yep.
Put that on there with a little bit of brown sugar and a little butt rub.
Right.
And just let it go last hour that way. And, oh, my God, just let it cool down, settle, and it sliced that.
Right.
Had a few sandwiches since on it.
Oh, man, I bet you did. So that's interesting, Chaz, because that's a technique that probably not a lot of people use, is putting a rub and or sauce on it after it's been cooking for a while. That's not wrong by any means. It's just a different technique.
Yeah, I wanted to get a little bit of the smoke penetration in first.
Right.
And then I didn't want that to be just all burnt.
Right.
I wanted it to still produce some flavor. I didn't need it carbonized.
You're talking about the rub and the sugar.
The sugar and everything on the outside.
Right.
And so it made a nice soft crust to it that really added to the visual appeal when it went to the plate.
Oh, yeah. Yep, exactly. Because, pork is one of those where you want to get it done, right? And in a rotisserie situation is you usually have a pretty warm fire because you're not in direct contact with a grate. You're getting radiant heat on everything that you're cooking. So
it's one of those ones where you know, when I rotisserie, I tell everybody, don't lift the damn lid.
Right, right.
Because it's like your big green egg or anything else. You want to keep that heat in there.
Yep. It creates a little bit of an oven effect.
Yep.
Yep.
And by doing the rotisserie, it's very evenly cooked all the way around.
Right.
And it holds a lot more of the juices in because they don't have time to drip. They're just kind of running around the edges and running around inside.
Yep.
And especially if you're doing something like a bird where you've got a cavity inside.
Right.
Stuff that cavity with some aromatics. You know, I've done lemons in there. I've done onions in there. Just a ton of herbs and things like that. But rotisseries are a lot of fun.
Right, right. And I don't think a lot of people use them because it's just one more gadget you got to get out. You don't just fire up the grill. You got to set it up. You got to skewer the meat.
Well, if you got the big unit like I do, it's built right on.
Right, yep. And you skewer it and you put the little fingers in each end and tighten down those set screws so it can't move.
Get your grilling gloves out.
Yep.
And have a big cutting board. You remember those 5-footers I got a while back?
Yeah.
I got one of those set on sawhorses right next to the grill when I'm doing rotisserie.
Sure. Yep, because it's generally, especially that pork loin, that probably almost a couple feet long.
Yeah, it was. There. It was a 13-pounder.
Yeah. So you this time of year, though, those are usually a pretty good value.
This one was in the freezer, you know?
Yeah,
I started
right.
digging
yeah.
around. Hey, look what's in here.
Right. Yep, and that's a good thing to do right now is the days are shorter, and you got a little bit of time to putt around and clean out your freezer.
And I got to make some room for the venison that's coming.
Right, yeah. This in another couple of weeks that you're not a bow hunter. You hunt with a gun, right?
I hunt with a gun, but this time of the year, we're still doing some work around the cabin and getting things ready.
Right, I get
it. And we'll be going out later today to sweep out the blinds.
Yeah.
Get all the little fival matter out of there.
Right, and bugs that have made nests and all that other stuff over the last year. But that's cool, and give the area time to settle down before you want to go out there and hunt in a couple weeks. So that's good. So we were going to talk about preserving food, whether we're going to do dehydration, smoking it, canning it, pickling it, or maybe just putting something in the cellar, right? There's a variety of ways to preserve your food. And I just thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about that. That was a great idea. We were chatting before the show. Again, if you're just tuning in, you listen to Grilling Guys and Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob is in the woods hunting. So Chaz, shut in with me.
Well, I'll tell you, the dehydration thing, that's a great way to really simply do stuff. You clean up your produce primarily.
Yep.
And slice it up. Put it in one of these dehydrators. And I'll tell you, if you go out yard sailing, they're a dollar or two a piece in somebody's yard sale because they got tired of storing it.
Right, yeah, they never used it.
I do a lot of peppers, especially this time of the year. Everybody's pepper plants are going to die because the frosts are starting to hit.
Right.
And they want to get rid of all these peppers, and they'll bring me grocery bags of them.
Really?
And you just clean them up, slice them up, and dehydrate them. Then I'll put them in a jar and put them on the blender, turn them to dust. Okay. And I've given you some of my magic dust.
Oh, yeah, it is. And that's the cool part is that you're kind of making your own seasonings there.
Yeah.
And with a variety of peppers that are out there, hot and otherwise, when you do it that way, you've made a combination of things that you might not be able to buy.
And you can do that with onions. You can do that with all kinds of different vegetables and things. And you can get into the fruits. You know, we were just talking about the apples.
Right.
Dehydrated apple chips. When you're in the deer blind, that's a great snack.
Oh, yeah, because the dehydration takes all the moisture out, obviously. That's what that term means, but it tends to concentrate the flavors. So if you do any of the fruits, you can do apples, apricots, you know, bananas, whatever, slice them thin, put them in this dehydrator, and it does two things. It heats them up a little bit, and then it blows air over the top of them. And how do you know when they're done? When it looks like they're done.
Yeah,
right?
And you put them in a bag, take them out to the deer blind with your bottle of water. You got a nice snack that doesn't make a lot of noise.
Right, yeah, right.
Yep. And you can just keep munching on it all morning long while you're waiting for the perfect shot.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of cool that you can do that. And you're right, though. I didn't even think about, what piece of equipment is go to a yard sale or two on a Saturday morning. You're bound to find one because people buy these things, think it's going to be a great idea. And then they end up like other things just in the back of the pantry or in a storage place somewhere. And finally they decide, well, it's time to get rid of one.
Yeah, and you can use that for making your jerky, too.
Right. Yeah, so coming up next, we're going to be talking about smoking things to preserve them. This is largely proteins, but we'll talk about some of the different foods that are available. The process, and then what kind of time frame that you think you can hold these things in before you maybe need to freeze them or that. So anyway, coming up next, we're going to be talking about that. Chaz, really glad you're here.
It's steelhead season.
Oh, yeah. We'll be talking about smoking
some fish, aren't we?
Yep, exactly.
That's a great one.
All right. Well, you're listening to Grilling Guys on Jethro FM and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you're just tuning in, Barbecue Bob is out in a tree somewhere hunting this morning. So Chaz Thompson, the Baritone of Beer, has joined me. Thank you, Chaz, for making time this morning.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Yeah, we were chatting about what to do on the show today, and we came up with how about preserving some things, the food and the beverages that we eat. A lot of them come in a can or a bottle, and that's all a preserving process.
You know, one of the things I've been seeing a lot of on TV and through YouTube and everything, these people living off the grid.
Right.
And they're really getting back into some of the stuff that, like, our grandparents did.
Right.
Really utilizing different ways of canning and preserving and smoking and dehydrating and everything to keep their food for the winter, because they're off the grid, so they don't have a big freezer like you and I do,
right,
that we can just reach in and grab stuff. And they don't have, you know, the grocery store right down the street that you can just run, jump in the car and go get something.
Right, right. They're kind of, and you know, this is, you mentioned in the first segment that this is the time of year when the gardens are starting to die out. We've had maybe a frost or two. So any of the fruits, or the vegetables rather, or fruits that you have that you're growing need to be harvested if they haven't already. And then what are you going to do with them? You were mentioning that, you know, tomatoes is one of those, peppers is one of those. What are you going to do with that stuff?
Yeah, a lot of extra bounty.
Right. So, you know.
But then with Bob, he's up in the tree. He's going to get a deer. I'm going to get a couple in here in a few weeks.
Right. And then the fishing season's right now.
Fishing season with the steelheading.
Right. So let's talk about the next, I guess, method. This is something that we talk about a lot on the show, is smoking things. But we don't really take the angle of smoking it to preserve it. And so this is just a little bit different. But I'm going to take the softball that's right off the top, and that is making jerky, right? Many times when you make jerky, you can buy a seasoning kit, if you like to put a flavor profile on that. But when you do that, there's also a powder in there that you can add if you want to do make it a preservative.
Right. It's a form of a salt.
Right.
To just kind of, you know, make it antimicrobial.
Right.
So nothing, no little germies are going to get in there and start to degrade the protein.
Right.
And whether you're doing pork or beef or venison or even fish jerky,
right,
you have that option of blending up some flavors with your essentially a desiccant,
right,
to dry that out, smoke cure it with the oils that are going to come out of the wood and everything else to flavor it and stuff, and make a great snack that stores well.
Right. So if you do that, let's talk about venison, because that's something that's plentiful right now. I mean, most guys, freezers or refrigerators, if they're bow hunters, because we're in the middle of that season. So generally there's some steaks that come off an animal that you don't really want to use for anything but a steak. But then there's also a lot of other muscle cuts.
There's a lot of trim meat, yeah.
That you can make jerky out of. So Let's talk about that process. What do you think is the best way to prepare the meat? Let's just say that we want to preserve and make ourselves some jerky.
One of the first things I would do is, just like you were preparing a steak or anything we're going to put on the smoker, get the silver skin off, clean it up really well and stuff. Then you're going to want to slice it rather thin,
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to be gnawing into something 3 inches thick when you're after it's smoked, and you're not going to get the penetration of the spices and the smoke and everything else too. Yeah. So you can either go buy a fancy jerky knife, or one of the tricks I learned is you take a pair of chopsticks and you lay them down, take a sharp knife and use those as a guide on how thick to cut it.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And so then you cut your protein into strips.
Right.
And then give them a good generous rub with your preservative and your herbs and things to, get it ready for the smoker. Then put it on the smoker. Now, a lot of guys like to hang it. There's all the other school of thought about laying it on the racks.
Right.
I kind of like to hang it because then you got less point of contact where it might stick.
Right.
But anything that, just like when we're grilling, anything that you're going to put down there, you want to put a little bit of lube down there, a little bit of oil or something, so it right. doesn't stick.
Right. And I would go, I'm going back to the meat. You want to, if you can, and you certainly can, you want to cut that across the grain, not with the grain of the meat.
That's going to make it a lot easier to chew.
Right. When you go down the grain, and you'll be able to see the muscle structure when you're cutting this, is that there's long lines, the grain, that run one way in each of these muscles. And if you go to a 90-degree angle and cut on those, it's going to make different lengths, different shapes of cuts. But what that'll do is it comes apart a lot better if you're across the grain.
It makes it easier just to bite it off instead of having to grab a knife and cut a chunk off.
Right.
But, with a deer, sometimes you're not going to have that luxury. So
right.
when you can, cross the grain. But if you can't,
right.
Rule 9 says never leave the house without a knife.
Right, yeah. That is exactly right. So when we've got the rump roast, you're not a roast person, that's where a lot of this meat will come from. They were making jerky, neck a little bit. But my front shoulders, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
My thought there is you clean it up, as you said, and then cut it up, and you're going to marinate it or dry rub. Which is your preference?
I go the dry rub route.
Okay. So the difference is just that. You can buy a solution of marinade from the store. You can make your own with teriyaki and
oh, that fancy internet's full of recipes. I bet there's even some on the Grilling Guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a part of that fancy internet, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so I think that those are options to do that with. What flavor profiles do you find that you like the best?
I like the little bit of peppercorn ones, the little bit spicy. It just seems more energizing when you go to eat them and stuff. Now, when I'm doing like a fish jerky or something, drying out some fish on the smoker, making a chew treat out of it, I'm going to go a little bit more herbal with the fish. I'm going to love that thyme and rosemary on there.
Right.
Just to wake it up.
And even, when I grill salmon, I'll use a maple profile on there, a little bit of maple syrup mixed in with the herbs, and then just put that on there because
that's a whole nother game is picking your wood.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, we've done shows on that.
Right, yep, exactly. So you can put, whatever profile you like when you're preserving this, the fish or the meat. I don't do a lot of poultry on there. It just doesn't turn into jerky like turkey jerky and chicken jerky.
Seems like Prius stuff.
Right. Red meat is better for me and the fish. But both of those.
We can't forget cheese.
Well, yeah. Yeah, right. Smoked cheese.
Smoked cheese will preserve that cheese even longer.
Right.
And give you that great smoky flavor that later you can, melt it into a dip. You can slice it, put it on a sandwich.
Right.
Oh, man.
So that's a cold smoke when you do cheese. And that's a technique where you really don't want too warm of a fire to create the smoke, where the jerkies that we've been talking about and the fish, you're going to do that at 225, 230. If you can keep your cheese under 100, that's great, and just have a rolling smoke on it, because you don't want to melt it at that point. You just want to get that smoke on
it. Now, I talked to a guy the other day who cold smokes Brussels sprouts before he puts them in the cellar.
Ooh, wow, that sounds good. We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, that's a game.
All right, coming up next, we're gonna talk about those smoked Brussels sprouts and maybe doing a little canning. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM. We're on in Lansing. We're up in Big Rapids, my bulldog country. They're going to play another game today. So anyway, Chaz, right before we left the last segment, oh, Barbecue Bob, he's up in a tree this week. So Chaz Thompson joining me. And he just mentioned right before the end of that last segment about smoked Brussels sprouts. Tell me about that.
Guy told me that if you cold smoke your Brussels sprouts, you know, not trying to cook them down or anything, it kind of dries out and cures the outside so that they preserve better when you hang them in the root cellar.
Okay.
And then when you pull them out, he said, you can cut them in half and just eat them raw. He says, they're just tasty as hell, and they'll preserve half the winter.
Right.
But they also add a little bit of that smoke flavor when you go and you roast them off or, you know, Put them in next to a roast.
Right. And that Brussels sprout's a little bit leafy, right?
It's a little leafy, but so it's very dense.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It is like it's like a miniature cabbage.
But
right?
The one thing I took from it is that it's an awesome way to make sure that you don't have any bugs or little creatures that have come out of the garden and want to go to your root cellar with it.
Right.
It's just like a little fumigation.
Right. Yep.
To take care of it.
Preservative. Yeah, in the last segment, the local segment, we're going to talk about the cellar. So we'll get back on that. But the next way we were going to approach with preserving food is canning. And I grew up in a household where my mom canned everything. My mom and dad were, bless their heart, they're both passed, but they were children of the Depression. And you grew gardens and you canned things. So that until the next garden was available, you had tomatoes and you had peppers and you had all of the different things that were...
Grandma giving me jars and jars of green beans.
Right. Yeah, asparagus. All of those
things.
All
those vegetables and things, but also the fruits.
Yep.
You know, canned peaches.
Yeah. Didn't we all grow up on canned peaches?
Oh, my God. And they didn't come out of a tin can. They came out of a mason jar.
Jar, right. Yeah. So I'm guilty of not carrying on that tradition with my family, right? We're creatures of comfort and convenience. But every once in a while, somebody that has a garden, that raises a garden, will bring you some canned whatever, any of the above we talked about. And it's different. It's just better. It's fresh. I remember my dad used to say, don't stub your toe between the garden and the pot when you're canning, because the fresher is the better.
Yeah.
Right. And that always stuck with me, because, you know, whether you're making tomato sauce, tomato paste, whatever.
Pickles.
Yeah.
Kraut.
Yeah. Yep.
All those great, great things that we grew up on.
So do you do any canning?
My buddy Steph has a big setup where he does a lot of it, and I go help him.
Let's take people through it, because I'm not sure everybody's ever tried it. And in my research for the show today, it doesn't appear that it's that difficult. There's some specific steps you need to take, but
basically, it's you clean up your vegetables,
okay,
cut them up, and you can do it with proteins too. I mean, canned meat is really good,
right?
And then you put it in the jar, and depending on what you got, you might want to add some water, or you might want to add some flavor by adding some herbs to the water or some of the things.
We've all had pickles that you put the little red peppers in to get them hot.
Or a couple of cloves of garlic.
Whatever.
You
know,
give it some extra. And then you put it in, you put the lid on it, and then you put it in a hot water bath.
Right. I think there's a couple steps that I want to cover between that. Not that we're teaching how to do this, but in my research, full disclosure, I've not done this. I just read about it.
Fancy internet.
Right, yeah, that fancy internet thing. Is that one of the things that canning does in the preserving process is you're killing bacteria, right? And you're not going to have a bunch of food sitting in a bacterial environment that's going to decompose it and not be any good when you want to use it. So in order to assure that happens, one of the recommendations I read was get a boiling pot of water and put your jars in there empty and let them boil for 8 to 10 minutes.
Sterilize
it. And it'll sterilize them. And then you've got this set of tongs that are made for a jar. They got little rubber ends on them. And you reach and you pull those out of there, empty the jars out, and set them on a cutting board or whatever it is that you have. But don't touch them again. And then when they cool, put your food in them so that, in fact, you've got a sterile environment that the food is going into. So prepping that food, let's take like tomato sauce or the spaghetti sauce that you're making, or salsas, any of this stuff. Salsa, let's work that one because that's one I like, right? So you're going to take and your garden peppers, as you mentioned, you're going to clean those, right? And you're going to dice them up. You're going to, whatever you do, if you're going to maybe cook your salsa prior rather than doing it just raw, either way, but you're going to fill these jars with salsa. It's got tomato, it's got pepper, it's got onion, and you fill them. You take one of those little metal lids, right? You put it on there, and then the little ring, and you screw it down, but you got to leave what's called head space in there. And then if you, so you leave that in there, and that's like a half inch to an inch, because as things cook, they expand, right? And you don't want to blow the top off the...
Well, the liquids won't compress, but the air will.
Right, right.
And then when it cools off, it's going to relax back.
Right, right.
So that headspace acts as like a, it's just like a shock absorber.
Okay.
For the heat.
Right.
So it's going to, shrink down when it's cooking, but then when it cools off and you put it on the shelf for the winter, it's going to open back up. So that's why you see that they don't look full all
right.
the time.
And it's by design, right?
Exactly.
So, but that salsa that we just decided to do, we're going to put it in that, once we get it in the jars and sealed up, we're going to put it in that boiling water. And
you're going to get a little bit of pressure that escapes.
Right.
But as it cools, it's going to suck that lid right down super tight to it.
Right.
And give you that preserving seal.
Right. Yep.
And anything that escapes is going to be like steam, and steam kills all the microbials. So
right, yep.
Hey, it's sterilizing it right out.
Yep, because the jar with the food in it and the little silver disc lid with, it's got a rubber ring around it, and then the ring, all of that is put together, and that is what's boiled. But that seal doesn't happen until you take it out and it cools, and as you said, it sucks that lid down on there, then you've got that canned product in the jar to go.
And you can have fun, you get your significant other out there, and it's a team sport to have a couple of you doing this stuff.
Right.
And one of the tips I want to give you is that when you got that lid down there and sealed and it's cooled off,
mm-hmm.
take the ring off. Because if that sucker rusts on there,
yeah, right.
You ain't getting it off.
Right. Yep, exactly. And they can, because that's the kind of metal that they're made of. But so the other thing in canning is like the fruits. Generally, you don't boil those as long
right.
as you would maybe a meat, because if we're canning venison or we're canning chuck roast or whatever.
I like to make up essentially a venison stew, put it in the jar raw, can it, cook it for a while.
Right.
Now it's ready to pop out, dump in a bowl, and heat up.
Right.
I mean, this is way better than any more.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to just take some carrots and onions and
potatoes, rutabaga, whatever.
Throw that in with some chunk venison right in there, or even some chunk salmon or steelhead. Put that in there to make a little bit of a stew. cook it up in the jar. You got like pint jars. That's like single serving.
Right. And there, and you can put some sort of broth in there or whatever. Yep. Again, leaving the head space, taking the bubbles out. So, and when you put it in this boiling bath, you cook it 20, 30 minutes. Again, it depends on what you've got in there.
Yeah. And with those, if you're going for the stew thing or even the, you know, stewed meats, essentially, then you're bam, ready to go. I mean, dump it out, put it in the microwave.
Yeah. And better than anything you're going to buy in a can from the store, because
right.
you put the flavorings and the seasonings in there that you like and you enjoy.
And then you get to sit there and tell the stories about how you shot that big one.
Yeah, right, while you're eating a bowl of venison stew.
Or landed that big steelhead.
Right, yeah, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? All right, well, cool. Well, that's fun. Who knew preserving would be so interesting, right? Coming up next, pickling and fermentation. This is something that is just another technique.
I know a lot about fermentation.
Right, yeah, and that's why I have him here. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Chaz is going to tell us all about getting pickled. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So
here's welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We've been a little bit different today, man. We've been talking about dehydrating and smoking and canning, and we're gonna jump into pickling and fermentation in a minute.
They still can all happen in your backyard.
Right. Yeah. That, generally.
I mean, the smoker's there and that big canning pot. That might go out on that big old turkey burner you got.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, rather than messing up the kitchen, use that outdoor kitchen. It's still got some nice days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And you can have the football game on.
Right.
Yep. Turn on the radio, listen to your Fair State boys.
Right, yep, and make it happen. All
my Michigan
backyard.
Tech boys, we got to get over the internet.
Yeah, yeah, well, some days you that's where you can get anything, right?
Yep.
But anyway, so... at the risk of this thing going off the rails, pickling and fermentation are two things that Chaz has forgot more about than I know. So I'm going to lean on you for this segment, Chaz, because if you're new to the Grilling Guys, Chaz was a head brewer at a microbrewery for many, many years, thus the name Baritona Beer. And he knows a thing or two about fermentation. So
yeah, and you know, fermentation, a lot of historians think that it came about because it was a way to preserve the grains and the fruits, just another way to preserve them so that they didn't spoil and the mice didn't eat them and things like that, to be able to get the nutrients out of them at a later date. So the big hearty beers, you converted the grain to beer. And now you had a nutritious drink for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, you're not out there plowing fields because it's snow on the ground, you're going to sit back by the fire and enjoy a little bit.
Right, yep. Thus the farming and farmhouse beer.
And right. Then the wines were the same thing because the guy had too many grapes or too many cherries or whatever. And he figured out if he pureed it and fermented it, hey, you got that nutrition that moved on with it into the wine.
Throw a little sugar on it, and you get an alcohol.
Well, right? You know, the fruit's got a lot of sugar in it, so
yep.
You can make a real banger if you need it.
Yeah, right.
But they say initially it was to preserve.
Right.
And, you know, then they found out that that fermentation, they didn't really understand it until Louis Pasteur started telling them what yeast really was.
Right.
That they could apply that to other things. Sauerkraut. The Germans love that. If you're Polish, it's kapusta.
Right.
You're Lithuanian, it's kapusta. But anyway, it's just they would put salt and garlic and onions with the cabbage and let it draw the water, natural juices out of the cabbage, and then it would start to naturally ferment with the yeast out of the air. And that alcohol that built up into it preserved the vegetable matter.
Okay.
And then, you know, you'd skim the scum off the top and you'd jar it up. Or today we might freeze it up. And they found out, man, that goes pretty good with pork.
Right.
And
right.
If you know any Germans, they know about 75 different ways to do pork in a sausage.
Right. Yeah.
Our buddy, our Polish buddy, Timmy, he knows a thing or two about that. And having good kraut with a good smoked brat, that's a good day.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that's a natural process, and it's open air,
yeah,
isn't it? I mean, you're not sealing. The other things that we were talking about were sealing it up.
A lot of people will can it after the fact.
Right, yeah, after it's become the product. Yeah,
but the process is very open air and
right.
naturally. And even pickling, you know, a lot of people do the pickles in the, you know, the fast method, just canning them up and stuff. But
right.
there's also barrel pickles. You know, if anybody drives along the South Shore Drive in Holland, you're going to smell the old pickle factory down there.
Right.
Where they used to have big wooden vats out there full of cucumbers that they put the pickling spice and the pickling brine into.
Right.
To preserve the pickles and jar them up, and down the road to the grocery they went, and you paid good dollar for them.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about that process a little bit. Basically, you're using an acidic kind of a brine. And what that does is it breaks things down a little bit, that acid. And that acid usually in pickling comes from a vinegar, right? And so you're mixing.
That's wine that went too long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which in fact vinegar is a fermentation process, right?
That's what they make down there on the south side of Holland now. It's all vinegar in the Heinz plant.
Right, exactly. So if you put this acidic liquid, if you will, on these particular vegetables, and we can go with pickles because everybody likes pickles. You know, not, and there's several ways that you can make them, but you put the cucumber. You can either slice them up in discs or pick them when they're small. You know, a whole foot long cucumber is probably not what you want to do, but those are the ones you slice up and make into chips.
You need some big jars for those, yeah.
Right? Yeah, you do. But so. Flavor profile on pickles can be almost anything.
You can do them hot and spicy. You can do them sweet. You can do them, you know, everybody's had bread and butter pickles. Everybody's had koshers. Everybody's
right.
had the crisp hamburger dills.
Yep.
There's a lot of different ones out there that you can do, and it's fun to mix it up a bit.
Yep.
So that you got a little variety all winter long when you're living that off-the-grid life.
Yeah.
Or pretending to.
Yeah, and the cool part about pickling is it doesn't necessarily take weeks or months to get your pickles where you want them. I mean, you can even do this stuff, you know, overnight if you want to.
Oh, they talk about refrigerator pickles that
right.
just go a couple of days.
Yep. The Grilling Guys takeout over there in Lowell, we rent that kitchen for a couple of days a week while we're open. Well, there's another guy in there that is remaking Vlasic pickles. He's rebrining them, if you will. He buys the big, like, 6-inch kosher spears, right? And he takes them out of the jar, and he rejars them into smaller ones. And then he puts in long red peppers, you know, kind of like Tabasco peppers, I think they're called. And he puts in a little bit of sugar. So he's taking a regular dill pickle, and he's making it putting a sweeter, hotter profile on it. But he lets those set in the refrigerator for about a week with this new brine on them, and they completely take on that flavor. So the interesting part I've learned about that is that even with a commercial pickle, there's more things you can do with it other than just take it out of the jar and eat it. And he just put this additional profile on it and puts it back in the fridge, and he's got a completely different pickle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's kind of a cheater's way, in my mind, to do it, but –
But, you know, he's full disclosure what he's doing.
Yeah, but you can do that when you're pickling. I remember my grandmother would always put a Hungarian yellow pepper in with every batch.
Right.
And a couple of cloves of garlic because she wanted some snap on them things.
Yeah, right, yep.
She wanted your face to twist when you bit into one of those. And
that's great.
Back stories go that that's how they got me when I was teething.
Oh, really?
Stuck a pickle in my mouth, and I still want those pickles.
Stop your whining and just enjoyed that pickle, right? But you mentioned that these are cucumbers, but olives are actually pickled.
Are pickled. Right? You can do pickled asparagus. You can do pickled your Brussels sprouts.
Right.
It's just a great way to preserve vegetables. You can even pickle the fruits.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pickled pears.
Well, there you are.
Aren't bad.
Right.
And, you get a couple other things. I've had pickled peaches that are spicy. And it's just a real nice treat to have something different.
Peter Piper picked them, right?
Yeah.
Peppers. So I guess you can pickle peppers, right?
You pickle the peppers. And it's something else that when you're breaking out that fancy charcuterie board.
Right.
To put something fancy out in front of your guests and tell the story about how you preserved it.
Right. Yeah, pretty cool. You know, Giardini, I'm sorry, it's the pickled vegetables that the Italians use on their shaved sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got yellow peppers in it. That's got red peppers in it, different heats that are really just, that makes an excellent accompaniment to a sandwich.
Oh, throwing that on top of a dog, on top of a burger?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on it.
Really good. Well, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each every week. Chaz, always a pleasure having you here, my brother, because you're just a wealth of knowledge. Barbecue Bob, good luck up in that tree. Don't fall out. And, bag your buck and everybody will be happy. But you've been listening, Grilling Guys. We're all over Michigan. Chaz, thank you much.
No problem. Guys, get on your podcast app and don't miss an episode of The Grilling Guys.
That's right, because we've got all kinds of recipes, including this banter that's going on. You can check us out on our website. But anyway, thanks for being with us. And y'all be safe. Get up and down out of the tree. And shoot us a note on Facebook if you bag a big one. We'll talk to you next week.